Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So a few years ago, I delivered a sermon in which I said that there were these eight words, and I don't remember if it was words from a theologian or words from the Bible, where it was, but I said these eight words summarize the gospel beautifully. And so really, we could just get up and have an eight-word sermon, and then I could sit down. And then, of course, somebody from the peanut gallery said, "Yes, Pastor, why don't you make that happen?" Well, my friends, this is not that Sunday. I just want you to know. So, this is kind of interesting. While I've been at Bethel, I figure I've written over 900 sermons. It's a lot. You multiply that out times 12-ish minutes, you guys have listened to a lot from me. So over 900 sermons, and that's if you figure the ones delivered on Sunday mornings, Wednesdays in Lent, weddings, funerals, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Christmas Eve, over 14 years, that starts to add up. But there's a lot to say. When we see the movement of the Holy Spirit among us, sometimes doing very ordinary things, sometimes doing fantastic things, sometimes things that just are part of who we are as a church. Together, we've shared 132 baptisms, 58 weddings and 4 renewals of vows, 139 funerals. There's a lot to say as we have welcomed to our congregation a lot of new members over that time. We've celebrated as we have sent people from this place to other congregations and other places. We've celebrated First Communions. We have witnessed young people affirming their faith through confirmation. We have thanked teachers. We've blessed backpacks. We've sent college students with our blessing. We have blessed our furry friends at the Blessing of the Animals. And we've celebrated a quinceañera. We've done a lot together. We've shared many memories, many stories, and thanked the good Lord many meals. Somebody can say amen in there somewhere, I'm just saying. Because you think about it, what would Rally Day be without a meal? A congregational meeting would be unbearable without a meal. I mean, you got to have something to entice people to come to a congregational meeting. And I'm sorry, but we got some people that know what they're doing in the kitchen. Amen. And there's some amen, thank you, Jesus going on here. You know, we're a group that likes to celebrate together, and pretty much we'll pull out the food anytime the wind changes directions. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for the times that that some of you have showed up at our doorstep with a meal. As Vicky's mother died, we were living in McLean at the time, and some people brought meals out to us there. When I had pneumonia a couple years ago, people brought me meals and, you know, lugged wood for me. You know, that's what a congregation does. That's what people do as we follow Christ. Because you and I, over time, not just with me involved, you have comforted one another. You have been there for one another. We've celebrated together. We have comforted, we've encouraged, we've grieved. In other words, we have done life together. And why is it that we do life together? Why is it that we give of ourselves financially? Why is it that we give of our time? Why is it that we give so much of our heart and our soul to a place? Quite simply, because God has called us to be community together. He hasn't called us to be a super efficient community, hasn't called us to be a community of perfect people. He just called us to be community together. And the kingdom of God is what this community is. And the kingdom of God is not made up of people who look alike, think alike, have the same kinds of backgrounds. We are a different group of people. The kingdom of God looks like you. We're different from one another. But you and I are joined together just one very important thing, and that is the call from Jesus to be together, to make a difference in this world. And you know, those of you who have been here for a baptism, when we baptize here, I tell the newly baptized, say that wherever you go in the world and you find someone that believes in Jesus, you found family. And that's what we are, family. And I want to take just a pause right now, because this is just the prelude to the sermon. I'm just wanting you to know, okay? You know, there's another hour or so, that'll be the intermission, where you can stretch your feet, maybe get some of that yummy food I saw coming. See, and that's how you know we're not going to be here too long, because we've got to get to the food. Amen. Watch it, though, young lady. But I've struggled a lot with what to say to you today. In my one last opportunity to share with you how much God loves you. What else is there to say in all of the 900 plus sermons except to drive home somewhere deep in your soul, so that you know it without even having to think or question, so that you know God loves you as you are. But the thing is, I have also realized and remembered that I follow 130, we're part of that 133 years, but I follow 119 years of pastors who have preached, who have taught God's word. And all of the people through that 133 years, all of the people who have sat in the pews, all of those who have led council, who have taught in Sunday school. So the thing is, the journey for Bethel will continue. The journey for Bethel will turn to a new chapter. So I have to realize that after me will come another pastor. And that pastor will likewise take up the mantle and will proclaim the gospel here. Will teach, will preach, will visit. And so how about we do what we're called to do in this time and in this place? We are called to be rooted in the good news. We are called to proclaim Christ's presence in all of the circumstances of our lives, including this one. So based on the scriptures today, I hear two themes. One is our own individual recognition of Jesus as the bread of life. My daughter says, individual. You have to make up words. They're a lot of fun. Own individual. You have to make up our own individual minds. So that's the first theme. The second theme I hear is free will. Now, both of these, we could take years and years and years to study and to get into those, but we'll touch on these just a little bit this morning. Because when we think about Jesus, I'm guessing that the word offensive is not in your top 5 or even top 25 descriptors of who he is. But Jesus was offensive. offensive at times. You know that he went into the temple and overturned the tables and drove out the money changers. You know that, as we heard today, what Jesus was saying was offensive to those who had been following him. Not just the 12, but there were crowds that had been following him. This is the same crowd that, as we heard last Sunday, Jesus said, "You are to eat my flesh and drink my blood." It was offensive to them. But we have been hearing over the last several weeks Jesus refer to himself as the bread of life, the bread from heaven. And as you know, Jesus is naturally low carb. So if you are wanting to eat the bread from heaven, the bread of life, that's not something that you have to restrict as part of your diet. In fact, you want more of Jesus. Amen. You want to consume as much of Jesus as you possibly can. So even as Jesus was saying these things that were really tough to hear and tough to understand, the people didn't know how to make sense of this idea of Jesus' flesh and blood and consuming that and it being life. Because he said, if you don't consume this flesh, if you don't consume this blood, you don't have life in you. I can imagine people being really confused by that. And, you know, Peter, who's always willing and eager just to jump in and do stuff, I can imagine Peter even taking a step back and saying, I don't want to be the first one. What did Jesus really mean? Was he saying literally? This teaching was too much for people. They were so offended that they voted with their feet. They got up and left. But notice in that moment that Jesus didn't get angry. He didn't yell. He didn't shame anyone. Instead, he said to those around him, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." So sometimes that's the best thing that you can do, is give people space to be able to process this teaching that's so hard to make meaning for themselves and to allow them space to make a decision. And we hear from Joshua this great statement. He said, "If you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve." Because he's understanding that you're going to serve someone. It may be yourself. It may be your spouse. It may be your job, whatever it is. But if you're not going to serve God, choose who you will serve. The questions that we hear from Joshua and the question that we hear from Jesus about, do you also want to go away, they give us space too. They challenge us to think, what do we really think? What do we really believe? Who are we serving? What are we feasting on? And so, if you desire to serve God, what does that mean each and every day? If you're offended and feel the desire to go away, how do we make space for us to say, to challenge ourselves and say, is it the message of God that is offending me and I need to be offended? Or is there something else at work here? And we have the free will to move. As I said earlier, today is a hard day. It's also a day of thanksgiving and remembrance. It's a day, as we get together, you know, I've watched the slideshow out in the hallways. I've watched that a couple of times. And as I see each of you, you know, it's actually distracting as I'm up here, because I'm looking at you guys and I'm thinking, oh, there's this story and that story and this was really fun. And, you know, so it's distracting as I'm trying to keep my focus here. But that's what we do. We are people where our stories intertwine. We celebrate what God is doing in this community among us and what God has been doing for the last 133 years in this place. We celebrate all of those people who have given themselves and made Bethel what it is. We give thanks even as, like this past week, one of the things that I came across was a picture from 1989. It was Erna Grafton, Shirley Saylor, and Marie Shaw. Some of you know them. Do you know that big, beautiful redbud out there? They were planting it. And it answered a question. I was wondering how old that thing was. But how many of us have taken pictures under that tree around Easter, especially when it's blooming? You see, some of you may not know who any of those three ladies are, but you know what they've done. In the future, there may be people who don't know who I am, though I don't know how that's even possible. But hopefully, all of us will have left a mark in one way or another. We give thanks for the people who welcome us. I'm sure if I were to ask many of you, who was the first person you met at Bethel? Or who invited you to Bethel? You might be able to come up with a name. I've heard people tell me these stories over and over again. Yeah, so-and-so was the first person that showed me where the bathroom was, or, you know, how to get into the nursery. We give thanks for those who have shown us Jesus, whether in this church or not. And I hope in some way or another that as we have gone through this time together at Bethel, that in some way your faith has become deeper. As I first came to Bethel, I was always aware that people would enter into the life of the church and then leave the life of the church. And that may be through moving to some other place or even through death. But my hope and my goal was always whenever a person leaves this congregation, that they have a mark on their soul that they know, again, that they are deeply loved and that their faith has grown in some way. And so as we go forward, I ask a few things of you. First, remain rooted in the Word of God, especially when it offends you. Engage the Word of God. Wrestle with the Word of God. Chew on the Word of God. Because there are many things that would seek to distract us from the Word, but that's why we're here. That's what we're about. Second, please be willing to experiment, to try new things, and to do that with joy. And please, for the love of God, don't say, "We've never done it that way before." Or, "We always do it that way." Or, "Pastor Jeff told me to do it this way." Just like we need space in our own spirit, in our own lives, your next pastor will need space too. To do and to become the pastor that God has called them to be in this place. I guarantee you that I have changed and grown as a pastor because of your influence. A congregation helps to form a pastor. And as I've said about politicians, so I also say about pastors, do three things. Pray for them. Challenge them. And support them. Those three. Pray, challenge, and support. And finally, as the body of Christ, your role is vital. This is not a small, insignificant country church. When I first got here, people would say, "Oh, we can't do that. We're just such a small country church." People would say, "We don't have the budget to do this or do that." You guys rock. Thank you Your generosity has been astounding. And so I'd like you to listen to these words. They're important throughout the fiber of everything that we do. Love as Jesus loves. Serve as Jesus serves. So as meaning in the same way. But second, love who Jesus loves and serve who Jesus serves. Is there anyone we should not love or serve? This is where you answer. Because there is no one outside of the grace and love of God. So we love and serve everyone. It's often the people who are unlovable, who are on the fringe, that really need our love. Because God's calling us to be those people in that place. And so thank you. Thank you for being an important part of my life and Vicky's life. She and I will hold you in our hearts. We will pray with and for you. We will give thanks in advance for what the Holy Spirit will do among you. And I'll be watching. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. I pray that throughout the rest of our lives, we live out the second part of that section of Scripture, that we can say with Peter, for we believe and we know that you are the Son of God, our Savior. Thank you. Thank you to my family on the Bethel staff, Debbie, Donahue, where Elizabeth is, and Rod Harbin, Cindy Martin, Deb Jacobs, Charlene Shepherd, the preschool teachers. I thank our executive team, our council. I thank all of you for your love, for your presence, for being church. So how about we kick butt for Jesus? We continue to listen to the Spirit. Give thanks to God for what is happening here. In the name of Jesus, amen.